Just so you know, my wife is doing well. She decided to go down early this morning and go to Tucson to spend time with her mom, and so attended the congregation there this morning. Her brother and nephews are there as well, so just let you know about that. So last week, I talked about being presented blameless at judgment time, and so we went through that message last week, that and was talking, went through First Corinthians chapter 1, went through verses 1 through 9. I might touch on that at the end of the message. There's a couple of verses in there, but we're told that we must be counted blameless at judgment time. And what we talked about, that blameless means you're not accounted for all the errors, for all the sins that you've committed. I mean, they've been wiped away. And so that's through a process, a relationship through the new covenant. Because without a relationship with God, through His Holy Spirit, we're not His. Our sins cannot be forgiven. So we went through that, talked about being sanctified, what it means to be sanctified. It means about coming out of the world, not being involved in the world's ways that are being led by Satan. Justified, we're made righteous through Jesus Christ's righteousness. You know, we talked about that. At baptism, we died to the old self. And we're willing to walk in newness of life. We truly understand that and know that there's no good in us. And the law doesn't save us. We talked about that. We talked about what the law was, that it's there and, you know, shows us that we need to be obeying God. It shows us what sin is. It shows us how we are to live, and that we can't keep God's law perfectly. I talked about that. The law doesn't save us. If we're trying fixated that we think that the law can save us, well, then we think, well, I'm not a sinner. And so we went through that, and then I told you that we would start regarding the two types of righteousness, which we did go over in the first message. But let's turn over to Philippians chapter 3. I think it's important for us to really emphasize on these things, because we can wonder, and it's like, well, why are all these people, they've been in the church or amongst the body, why did they leave? I mean, why did they leave? Well, it's more than just knowing the Word of God. It's about, without Jesus Christ in us, we're not His. And Scripture tells us that we must have a relationship with God, or we can drift. And if we drift, you know, that Holy Spirit can be it's not kindled, it's dormant, and people have left. But God is the judge. I'm not judging. I'm just reading what Scripture is, that we're required to be obedient, making sure that we're using the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to be applied to us by getting rid of the self, and through His righteousness our sins can be forgiven. And that's why we're called righteous. You know, yes, we're keeping His righteous law, but it's through His righteousness that our sins can be imputed to Him, that He will take them on, and that we can be counted blameless. Paul, very zealous. I mean, very knowledgeable in God's law. Also in the law of what other people were also involved in that was added to the law. But in Philippians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul is talking about works of law. Keeping any law, doesn't matter. We think the law is going to make us righteous. That's what he's saying here in verse 6. He says, concerning zeal, Philippians 3, verse 6, concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. He's very zealous. I know this is the way. He was very zealous. He thought what he was doing was right. And he was persecuting the church. concerning the righteousness which is in the law. He thought he was blameless. But we know that only Jesus Christ is righteous. And then verse 9, he says that the righteousness of Jesus Christ needs to be applied to us. And be found in him, he says, verse 9, not having my own righteousness, which is from law-keeping, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So we understand through this process that we do need to keep the law, and then that when we sin, that sin is imputed to us. We deserve the death penalty. But if we're willing to go before God, Jesus Christ is a propitiation for our sins. We are forgiven. We practice righteousness. We practice the law. And we walk in it by faith. And we should be able to look back. I think Mr. Tuck talked about this for many years as he's been a pastor. We should be able to look back in our life and see growth. I always like to look back for sure around the Passover season. Am I doing better than I did last Passover season? Have I grown more in understanding, and am I putting it into practice? So look back, and then if you see growth in someone, let them know that you see growth in them. That gives them encouragement. Sometimes we don't always see it. But I do say that we need to see it, that we know that God is working in us, and he gives us tools, right? Prayer, meditation, fasting, to make sure that we're living and we're growing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because when we sin, there's a debt, and that debt has already been paid. And do we want to hang on to it? Or do we want it to be released and put God's law into practice and use the sacrifice that's been given to us? So again, imputed means to be accounted or accredited. We read that in Romans 4. I believe that was Romans 4, verse 6. I'll probably turn over there in just a minute. When we sin. But then it's also when we repent, it's accounted. Jesus Christ accounted to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ takes it, and he's paid that price. So we come to understand some things in our calling that we must really look at. We need to understand what sin is. It's the breaking of God's law. And it's a good thing that we pray to God and say, help us as the body of Christ to see where we break your law. Because there's times I look deep and it's like, wow, I didn't even know I was doing that. And I find out a lot of times when I do see those things, God is very merciful in showing me that. But there's also times where I'm asking. And you want to know what, brethren? I'm asking God to help us as the body of Christ to see our sins so that we can grow in a relationship with one another through Jesus Christ, that we can be reconciled to the Father, right? If we love one another, shouldn't we be wanting that for one another? As it tells us in the model prayer, I think it says at least four times about praying for the body. It's us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. So we're thinking about one another, caring for one another. And we want to be a good example for one another. And so there's so much that God keeps showing us, and that we have this debt that needs to be paid. And so we should want to see it so that we can grow in a greater role in being righteous. And understanding that we may think we're keeping the law. There's just so much to it. Without God guiding us and leading us, we would not know we're breaking it as we get deeper. So it's his righteousness that's imputed to us when we repent and want to see our sins. And as a result, we can stand before God justified, made righteous through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through his blood, because God accepts that prayer, right? It's the prayers of the righteous. And God opens the censer of all those prayers of the righteous when we see in Revelation as we get to the end time. And he knows those prayers, so we can stand before God. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 4, and then I want to give an example in Scripture. Romans chapter 4, I mean, we get examples here. Romans 4, talking about Abraham being justified by faith, not by his works, and we've heard this many times. But Romans chapter 4, verse 1, what shall we say? That Abraham, our father, was found according to the flesh. He was because of what he did. For if Abraham was justified by works, well, he would have something to boast about. I'm so perfect. Look at this law. I'm keeping it. But we know through Scripture, he sinned. He was faithful. But we all sin. And look at the sins. If we step back and look, if we stop and look at the sins that we've committed, and we look at those, I know God has forgotten them and we've repented. But just look at the harm we've caused. And I wish I could change so many things in my life. But we should look at how harmful sin is. We have nothing to boast about. Oh, I keep the Sabbath. I mean, that has nothing. We do. Shouldn't be boasting. We should be thankful for God's mercy and for leading us to what this day is about and all his law. So if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. You can't boast before God. Well, Mr. Knutson or Monty Knutson, should you, it's judgment time, and it's like looking at me, am I blameless? And, I'm just sort of thinking out loud, what if he asked me a question? What about this person over here or that person over there? You think they should be in the kingdom? How are we living our lives? Do we have a relationship? Do we want a relationship with others? And those that don't want a relationship with us, are we praying for them? If I say, no, I don't, that's no. We need to forgive the true, deep repentance. For what does Scripture say? Also, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him. For he believed God. He believed. And for we have a deeper, I would say, because we have been, Abraham had, a certain type of God's righteousness. And it says right here, he had the right, that was God's righteousness is accounted for him. Okay? We also have that because Jesus Christ died and we have been baptized and received God's Holy Spirit. All right? Abraham also had that. But we have it through a understanding that God has also given to us. And he's showing us through here, through Abraham, that Abraham was accounted for righteousness through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, walking in faith. Now, to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. So, we sin, there's no way that we can keep the law perfectly. God shows us through his grace that we need repentance, that our sins, the soul that sins shall die. Verse 5, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. So we don't rely on the law to save us. We live by the law, but our faith is accounted for righteousness, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. And here it explains it very well. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. Things that we try to do to live God's law and we mess up, our lawless deeds are forgiven. and whose sins they're covered. Because we wrestle against principalities as well. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute that sin. And then you could keep reading on that Abraham was counted for righteousness before he was even circumcised. And so, you know, yes, that was a requirement for circumcision, but that does not save you. It was a requirement. And then later on, that was revealed that it's the circumcision of our heart and our minds. So we say then, if the law does not save us, let's look at an example over here. Because Jesus Christ says, if you're not obeying the law, it almost looks like it's through the law that we're being saved. But because he judges in the millennium, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. And we know that God's law is righteous. It's holy. It is perfect. Okay? But we can't keep it perfect. But here in Matthew chapter, he talks about in Matthew 25, in verse 31, he talks about, you know, the sheep and the goats. The sheep meaning those are the ones who are striving to live, to do the will of God, to become more like God. And the goats represent a tendency of being proud and haughty and not wanting to follow the word of God. Okay? So here it says in verse 31 of Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. And then there's judgment. And all the nations will be gathered before him. See, it's the millennium and the white throne judgment. And he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and then the goats on his left. So he's separating different attitudes. Okay? Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. I want you to inherit the kingdom of eternal life, right? It's been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Before the world was even framed, this was my plan. To bring people to myself. To make them like me. And then he gives an example. He says, why? Why? All right? He's talking about the law. Because there's a lot of people that say the law's been done away with. Some people say, well, some of the law's there. It's to love God and to love your neighbors yourself. But how does that work out when people just talk about that? Look at their lives. They say the other law has been done away with. Jesus Christ said, not one jot or one tittle, you know, will pass away. You know, the law will be, I'm paraphrasing that, he says the law will be fulfilled. You know, till heaven and earth pass away, it will be fulfilled. The law is not done away with. So here's saying, for he says, I was hungry. So he's talking about the law, right? God's law. About caring for others. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. So in other words, you cared about others. You were putting my law into practice. But is that all there is to God's law? What about the Sabbath? What about the holy days? No, there's all of that, right? There's all of that. So he's talking a portion of the law section right here. Then what does it say? Verse 37. Then the righteous. It says, then the righteous will answer him. Well, who's the righteous? We just went through that. It's not, we're not made righteous by keeping the law. We're made righteous through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So they were practicing everything that they were required to do, getting rid of the old man at baptism and walking in newness of life, okay? So as they were being taught, they were responding. It's not the law that saves us. So we can say, because we look at the world today, so I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. There's people that aren't keeping the rest of God's law, but they'll stand before judgment and they'll say, well, I did this and I did this, and what does God say? Don't boast. No, don't boast, you know. It's through the righteousness of my Son coming to full repentance, seeing how ugly you are and what you need to change and walking in newness of life. You have to be taught these things. Right? You have to be taught that the righteous will say, well, when did we know? Well, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren. Now, you know, you start, you're within the church, you're taking care of the brethren, care of one another. You know, God expects us to love one another as he loved us. So keeping the commandments is essential to the calling of God, and that's how God works this out. I'm going to go back to Romans chapter 4. Well, let's thought I had something there I wanted to go over. Let's 13. Yeah, so that's, I mean, for the promise that, and he's, verse 13, for the promise that he would be to the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed, through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So there, just wrap that up. So what are those that are baptized and have God's Holy Spirit, what are your obligations to the covenant? And we talked a little bit about that on Pentecost. We've been talking about it here. What are your obligations to the covenant? I mean, you made a covenant. You made a life and death covenant with God. At baptism, we said that we understood that we were sinners and that we were getting baptized for the forgiveness of sin. We understood who we were, that these ways that we were practicing were contrary to God. We were breaking his law. And we wanted to walk in newness of life and have our sins forgiven through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, to be stitched together, to have relationships with one another, to be reconciled to God, to grow and be manifested in his word, to put it into practice, to bring God glory by how we live, by being a light and being a better person in our marriage, in our relationships, in the church, in our relationships at work, and how we judge others, because God says, well, you know, you can make judgments, but don't judge others, because how you judge, you will be judged. How you forgive is how you will be forgiven. These are things we need to be concentrating on and working on. As we draw close to the end of this age, will we be found blameless when we are resurrected? You know, we will die. You may still be alive, but just before you're changed into spirit being and judgment, how that works, you know, it says old men will die. What short period it will be, or is it between how God works that out? But are we committed? Are we committed to be like God? Our calling is to be Christ-like. And he leads us to be righteous. It's his righteousness in us. And we don't boast. All glory goes to God, because it's his righteousness that saves us. It's his righteousness that he leads us to repentance and to be fully cleansed of our sins as we walk in newness of life and continue to keep repenting. That's part of our covenant that we've committed. And if we don't repent, that death penalty is on us. If we're not putting it into practice and putting on Christ, Well, then we're not his. We want to be his. It's not that we're trying to earn credit with God by what we've done, because we can't do that. We need the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to us. He never sinned. He was fully obedient to God. He humbled himself. He gave of himself. He gave of his body. He gave of his blood. He just was willing to suffer and die and set as an example, and that's what we need to do, and we can't do it on our own. No law can help us to do that. It's a relationship. As we repent and walk in newness of life and give God all the credit and all the thanks, it's a walk. So we need the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to us, and Jesus Christ makes this possible. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 1. I should probably just put a marker in this spot, because I come to it quite often. 1 John chapter 1. And I think we should look at this. And, you know, God's word grows, should be growing in us as we put it into practice. But 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, okay? Now, don't be like Mr. Armstrong. I mean, Mr. Armstrong said for many times, talked about the two trees. And I heard people say, oh, there he goes again. And they just don't listen. You know what? I know some people that said that. They're no longer with us. I mean, it was about give and take, right? Get. Give and get. And people don't want to hear it. Oh, there he goes again. Well, it's the word of God. So I'm just saying, listen, seek God's understanding and direction, because it says if we say that we have fellowship with him, and many of us will say, I have fellowship with God. I have a relationship with God. But it says if we say we have a relationship with God, what does it say? If we say we have fellowship with him, but we walk against his word, we're walking in darkness. We're not walking in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We're walking in our own. We're walking in darkness and we lie. We do not practice the truth. Yeah, we're here. But if we look in the mirror and be honest with ourselves, we all need cleaning up to do through Jesus Christ. Our hair is a mess. Our face is a mess. We look a mess. And Jesus Christ is the one who can clean us up. So if we say we walk in the light, in God's way, through the sacrifice of his son, wanting to be blameless, as he is in the light, right? As Jesus Christ is light, he was without sin. You know, the only way that we can be without sin is through repentance, through the new covenant. And if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we're walking in the word of God, we're putting it all into practice, then we have fellowship with one another, right? That's how we have fellowship with one another. If we don't have fellowship with one another, then we're not his. Sometimes we struggle with that. And that's, if we see that we're struggling, but we go the right direction and want to put it into practice, that's a good thing. But if we have fellowship with one another, then the blood of Jesus Christ, his sons, will cleanse us from all sin. Okay, so it's about that relationship that God the Father and Jesus Christ want with us. And putting that all into practice, coming to humility, and we also being a sacrifice, willing to suffer, and to forgive, and to put that into practice through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But if we say that we have no sin, I'm not going to maybe address that sin, or I don't want to see my sins. Well, then we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But it says if we confess our sins, as we confess our sins, God continues to work with us and help us to even see more that we could be working on. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to help us to see that it's not our righteousness. We need the help of Jesus Christ to help us, to give us the strength to go and say and do these things that are righteous by keeping the law. Because sometimes it's just, I can't do this. Well, we can't. on our own, but we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us to put God's law into practice. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So if we say, I've not sinned, I haven't admitted my sins, or I don't want to see my sins, or I'm not a sinner, however that is. No, we are sinners. Let's go to verse 1, chapter 2. Read a few verses. My little children, these things I write to you. So here's John, my little children. You know, he's the pastor. He's looking at his flock. Children, these are the children. God has put your care and trust with me. I write to you so that you may not sin, so that you may not remain in sin, because we all sin. I write to you that you may not remain with that death penalty around your neck. And if anyone sins, and we all sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, right? That's what we've been talking about. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the whole world when they are called in their time. Verse 3, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So that's where it starts. It starts, we know him because he has a law. He's revealed to us that they must be kept. He who says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. All right? So that's the first thing. We're called. We need to keep the commandments. And if we think that we are doing okay with some of his commandments but aren't digging deeper enough, we need to be looking at that. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, his whole word, asking for the righteousness of Jesus Christ to be in us, to be applied to us. But whoever keeps his word truly, the love of God is perfected in him. And that's what we're looking for, is that perfection, to be counted blameless. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought also to walk just as he walked, to be a sacrifice. Be a sacrifice, to be obedient to God. So let's close over here. As I started the message last week about being blameless, being counted blameless as at judgment. It's like we've asked God to wash us, clean us of all our sins, and to strive to put that law into practice and to know his law physically and spiritually, and to show us when we sin, right? So we can be counted blameless, so those sins can be put on Jesus Christ and they're not on us. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, again, 8 and 9. Let me start in verse 4. Paul says, I thank my God always concerning you. Concerning you. Paul is thinking about those that he's supposed to be teaching God's ways and being a shepherd. For the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Jesus Christ was confirmed in you. So everything is being made known to us, so that you come short in no gift. God's favor, in his favor. Whatever God wants to produce and give, we don't become short in it, because we're living to him, surrendering to him, and through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we're walking in faith, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? All those sins that we commit, that we hate to do, when we do them, we ask for forgiveness and ask for help to do better, and we put that into practice and give God the credit God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then jump to verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. Through its own wisdom, they did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. So this foolish people look at this message as foolishness. But this message that we hear is there to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign. They want miracles. There's people that want miracles. It's not stepping out in faith. And Greeks seek after wisdom. You know, philosophy, things that they come up with. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God. You know, those who look at God as foolishness, his plan is foolish. God is not foolish. The foolishness of God, they look at his plan as foolish. But the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The men look at God's plan, salvation, his plan, what he's doing as foolishness. And God says, even if you look at my plan as foolishness, oh, no matter how wise your plan is, it's nothing in comparison to my plan. Brethren, we're blessed to know the plan of God. It's not foolishness to us. It is foolishness to the world. And man continues to devise their own things, and we see what's going on in the world. Let's not get caught up into that. Let's remember that God imputes Jesus Christ's righteousness to those who have a covenant with him. Those of the world don't have a covenant with him. Even all these religions of the world, even Sabbath keepers, if they're not obeying God's law and they haven't come to true repentance, they don't have the righteousness of Jesus Christ working in them. We cannot earn salvation. Salvation is a gift. It's our acceptance of Jesus Christ and what he went through. He died to sin, and we died to sin as well. He walked in newness of life when he's resurrected. He continued to walk in that life. We continue to do the same thing as God the Father resurrected him. And we do that through baptism, through God's Holy Spirit. It's very powerful. It's very powerful that we have that true baptism, and we have God's Holy Spirit, and we put that into practice. Because our flesh cannot please God without his Holy Spirit. We need his Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ made this possible. So if we accept Jesus Christ's righteousness by him living in us as we walk in faith, that's what God expects us to do. We accept his suffering of what he went through, the example of what we were supposed to be. And through that example of what he did, what helps us to be stitched together, he's there for us. He cares for us. And how that whole sacrifice is applied to us. Then God applies that righteousness of Jesus Christ to us as we continue to fully submit to God and put his ways into practice. So I hope this message was helpful. Part one, part two. Again, it's God that wants us to be blameless. So it's very important that we, this covenant that we've made with God, that we continue to walk in it. You know, dig deeper in a relationship, asking for God's guidance and direction and his help and strength. And let's continue to strengthen one another by encouraging one another to not give up. I mean, who knows how close we are? Things could simmer down. It could escalate. You know, you have Israel hitting these strongholds. Where are these strongholds in Gaza? They're underneath hospitals, schools, and mosques. They're killing innocent people at the same time. Yes, they're trying not to, but they are. And it's infuriating to many of the Arabs and others. Huge march in London, if you saw that on the news. Long blocks of people. Israel says they're not going to give up until they get the last one. So I just say, as you see things happening, let's not fret, let's not be afraid, let's make sure our relationship is right with God and continue to put that into practice. And to be ready. As we want, as we also sang that hymn, as we are, you know, we're seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. So we talked about that righteousness. We talked about being blameless before God. So let's make sure that we're working on that, putting that into practice, encouraging one another.